Hello, everyone. This is Chris McLaughlin from Stones Crossing Church, and I want to welcome you to the D Group Leader podcast. Today, I'm really excited because we've got Pastor Scott Luck here with us today. How's it going?
It's going great. It's good to be here, Chris.
Nice. Yeah, thanks for being here. We're just going to have a little conversation talking about really the vision and kind of purpose behind our D Groups and what we're really trying to accomplish here. And I was trying to think of who would be the perfect person to help us with that, and that is going to be Pastor Scott every time. So yeah, thanks for being here. So before we get rolling with talking with Pastor Scott, I just want to tell you a little bit about an event that's coming up on August 3rd. Now, August 3rd is a Saturday, and we're going to be doing a Saturday morning event here at the church that I would love for you to be a part of. We are inviting all of our leaders, our volunteers, and really anybody that wants to be a part of this to come and pray for our new building, for the new children's wing that's being constructed. This event, we're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have Pastor Scott's going to be just giving us a little bit of vision for like what we're doing with this, where we're going in the next couple years, why this building is so important, how this is going to change the future of Stones Crossing Church. And then we're going to go over to the building. You're going to get really a first look into the building, and we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray over that building, and just ask the Lord to use it for His glory, that He might be glorified through everything that goes on in that building. And so the event starts at 9 a.m. There's gonna be breakfast starting at 9, and then we're gonna get into the event itself. The full event should only be an hour and a half. We're gonna try to be done by 10:30, and that way you can be on your way. But we think it's going to be a great morning of just praying and dedicating this building to the Lord, and we really would love for you to be a part of it. So mark your calendars, August 3rd. Hopefully we'll see you there. Well, let's go ahead and get into our topic here. I want to go back a couple years to what we used to do beforehand, before we started, because we've only been doing D groups about 3 years now. And before that, we had a little bit of a different model. We were doing life groups, right? Yeah, and it was kind of a short-term life group model, so people could jump into a group for a short period of time and then jump out and things like that. And at one point, it was pretty successful in the fact that we had a lot of people that were involved in life groups. So why move away from that model? What were we looking for that maybe was like a little bit different than what was happening with the life group model?
Well, I think one of the things we were evaluating was really the question of, is the church growing in biblical literacy? Were people really taking steps to personally engage God's word on a daily basis? And do they really understand theology? Do they understand the scripture? And it was really our evaluation that we were lacking in that area. We moved people into community. I think people experienced great fellowship at those life group meetings. I think that they would pop in a video, a DVD, and hear a lesson, and they would discuss and kind of share their insights into that lesson. But that was really just about it. And I think one of the things we wanted to see was more engagement with Scripture, and really just understanding that discipleship is an obedience to that and an application to that, and a following of Jesus, you know, through His word. So right. that was the emphasis that we wanted to bring to our discipleship here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what I think is interesting, I mean, because I think that there's a lot of people and people who are still in our church who remember when we were doing the life group model, and some really great things came out of that time, which was awesome. And community, I think, was one of them. We built up some really strong friendships. It's interesting, though. I mean, when I was, I talk with our D group leaders sometimes about this idea that, you know, when we have groups, a lot of churches will really target the idea of going after community. And a lot of times it's because they know that if you have your best friends here at the church, that it's going to be harder for you to leave the church. You know, it's almost kind of like, hey, we're just trying to get you to stay here because this is where your community is. But when you go after, when groups are focused on community and community alone, it's hard to get the discipleship side sometimes. I think what we one of the things that, that I began to see is that as we focus more on discipleship, you actually kind of get both in a lot of ways. Like when we are discipling others and we're in the trenches with other people, that we're praying with other people, they're calling us at 2 a.m. like, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Those are the people that you are caring for, and those are the people that are caring for you, and you're just doing life together. So you actually kind of get both of those things at the same time, both discipleship and community.
Definitely. I think Robert Coleman in his book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, really teases this out of Jesus' strategy. What you see is this whole principle of association. Jesus is spending a large amounts of time with the disciples. He was in proximity with them. And that's where you really begin to see a transference, a life-on-life kind of step and impartation. And that was one of the things that we wanted to see increased through our D group model.
Yeah, yeah. This is a quote right from the very beginning of Robert Coleman's book, The Master Plan of Evangelism. And he talks about the idea of having, Jesus has this plan to use people to reach the world. He says, it all started by Jesus calling a few men to follow him. This revealed immediately the direction his evangelistic strategy would take. His concern was not with programs to reach the multitudes, but with men whom the multitudes would follow. Remarkable as it may seem, Jesus started to gather these men before he ever organized an evangelistic campaign or even preached a sermon in public. Men were to be his method of winning the world to God. I like how he opens the book with this, because it gives us a lot of hope in a lot of ways that, man, God wants to use me. God wants to use us to do this, to reach people and train people.
Definitely. I think what you see is Jesus' ministry with the 12 was really his focus. It was the core part of his ministry. He didn't neglect the masses. He had a ministry to the masses. There's a place for that. We minister to the masses on Sunday morning. But discipleship has to be life on life, and it has to be one-on-one, if you will, if that life is going to be transferred to another. And I remember when I was in high school, and my youth pastor really challenged me to take a step as a disciple, and he invited me into his life. I remember at football practice looking over, and he would be there watching us practice. And I remember my youth pastor being available to take us out after school for a Coke. And he would just talk to us and just say, hey, how are things going? And he started building a relationship with us. And so that's more than just fellowship. That is life on life there. And I learned a lot just from having that kind of relationship with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, one of the other shifts that happened with this around the same time was really coming into gospel centrality, the idea of focusing on the gospel, not just for bringing people to Christ, but that we actually need the gospel for growing in Christ. So maybe could you help us to kind of understand what, just in a snapshot, because we can, I'm sure we could talk about this for hours, but why is the gospel important for us to grow in Christ?
Well, I think it's the message of the gospel is the message of God's grace to us. And I think grace is what transforms us. And I think grace is what empowers us to live a godly life. And so the message of the gospel is the message of God's love to us, of the substitution of Jesus for us. And that is our foundation for following him and for knowing him. We love him because he first loved us.
I know for me, this was a shift in my thinking, because I came to a place where it's like, wait a minute. I thought the gospel was just for bringing people to salvation, right? Like Romans 1, it's the power of salvation for those who believe. But it doesn't end there. It's coming back to that message, coming back to the idea that we were once sinners, and yet Christ died for us and has extended that love to us. Coming back to that reality over and over and over again actually grows us in faith and in trust in him constantly. And it's almost at a place where we really need the gospel, like coming to church every Sunday. Right. I'm finding that I need to hear it. I need to be reminded of the grace of God for my own spiritual growth.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the gospel tells us that we are not sufficient to save ourselves.
Right.
And then the gospel of God's grace tells us we're not sufficient to grow ourselves. So we have to come back to our insufficiency and our inadequacy so that we can recognize God's sufficiency and his adequacy. And that's the part that helps us to see we need him, and we're called to rely on him, and most importantly, we're called to trust him. And in that recognition is when growth transpires in our life.
Yeah. So let's bring that into like the context of a D group, because in a D group, we're talking about all kinds of issues. We're talking about we're talking about theology, but we're also talking about really practical things that are going on in everybody's life, and then where those two intersect is kind of where the gospel is. Yes. In some ways. When we're doing a study on marriage in our D groups, or we're doing a study on the book of Philippians, or we're doing a study on apologetics, why come back to the gospel every time? What difference is that going to make for us?
What I like about Life on Life discipleship is you're in the trenches with people as they struggle and they're learning how to follow God. Yeah. In certain situations. And the discipler is the one that helps his disciples to do that. And so we learn how to do that by asking questions and saying, hey, I'm struggling with my mate. I'm struggling with my kids. What would you do? And how would you disciple me in that situation? And so that's what I had with my youth pastor. I had somebody to say, well, this is what the word says. And this
right.
is, so there's that practical piece that leads up to the gospel again, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that, because I lead a D group myself, and in my group, one of the things that we keep coming back to every time is, you know, we'll ask a question, or there'll be something that comes out of the text that we're studying that week, and it meets a very real practical situation. But then we can turn it around and say, how does the gospel actually meet this need? And it does every time. Every single time it meets the most practical needs that we have. And I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah,
that we can't ever get away from the gospel. We don't outgrow it. We don't move beyond it. We are constantly reminding ourselves of the gospel, because the gospel is really showing us the way to live, way to be a Christ follower here.
Yeah.
On earth.
Yeah.
So here's another quote from Robert Coleman's book. He says, when it is all boiled down, those of us who are seeking to train people must be prepared to have them follow us, even as we follow Christ, which is kind of a scary thought. It's a we are the exhibit, he says. They will do those things that they hear and see in us. And then he continues on the next page. He says, it makes us vulnerable, of course. We're not perfect like our Lord, and those persons to whom we open our lives will come to see our many shortcomings. But let them also see a readiness to confess our sins when we understand the error of our ways. Let them hear us apologize to those we have wronged. Our weaknesses need not impair discipleship when shining through them is a transparent sincerity to follow Christ. The idea that there's people in our group and they're going to be listening to us, they're going to be following us, it tells me this is going to be a really hard job to do, because we know we're going to fail. We know that we're not going to do this right all the time. So right now we've got about 50 D group leaders almost 300 people in our church that are part of D groups. What encouragement can we give to these D group leaders who are in the trenches with them, who get calls at 2 a.m., who are praying for and counseling and discipling the 300 people in our church? What encouragement can we give them as they're considering all this?
Well, I think the main encouragement is that this is the way to make disciples. It is daily. It takes time. You are in the trenches with people as they struggle with the down parts of life, the hard parts of life, but also the victories and the joys of life. And it's in both of those things where God teaches us to rely on his grace. And so we all need people that we can look to help us kind of walk through the peaks and the valleys of life. And I think the message of the gospel to a D group leader is you're free to be who you are. because you're in Christ and you can share your struggles, but you also are there to share how God has transformed you and how God has taught you and pass that on to your disciplees, if you will. And so I think the encouragement there is grace frees you to be real so that they can be real in their relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, everyone, I want to just, first of all, say thank you to you. You guys are doing a tremendous job with the people of our church, and we want to thank you so much for all that you do week after week to care for them. I personally know how I think both of us, Scott included, we know how tough it is to be in the position that you're in. We know the joys of it and the struggles of it, and so. So we just want to say thank you to you, and thanks for all that you're doing.
Definitely, and I think our D group leaders are really the core of our ministry here at Stones, because you are the expression of our commitment to make disciples. And there are a lot of churches that are not really committed to making disciples. I think they're teaching the Bible. They are gathering people into groups, but just teaching some scriptures and gathering people into groups doesn't mean we're actually making disciples. And so we want to thank you all because you share in the Great Commission, a portion of what God has called us to be and to do as a church. And God promises his grace for us in that journey, and best of all, his reward, which is himself. And so, so thank you all for sharing in that. You're making an eternal difference, and you may not see the results in the time that you want to see them, but you will see them because God is working through you to achieve his purposes in the people that we're pastoring and shepherding and discipling.
Yeah, definitely. Well, next time on the D Group Leader podcast, we're actually going to dig into this idea a little bit on how the gospel can actually help us to grow in Christ-likeness. We're going to spend a couple weeks talking about that. So we hope that you will join us next time on the D Group Leader podcast.